This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Part 4. Allah's Names and Attributes. Chapter 1. Calling to the names and attributes. A caller to Allah, da'i, should begin with attracting those who are sincere by teaching them about our Lord. They should employ their intellectual capacity to prove the existence of the Lord, the Creator, the Sovereign, the Disposer of the affairs, and the absolute ruler over His creation. After acknowledging His singular Lordship, they should invite the non-Muslims to the imperative of worshipping only our Lord. Now the next step is to turn to the revelation, to secure the turning hearts into submission to our Lord. The caller to Islam must know more about Allah through His names and attributes. Growth is a word that we usually quote in several contexts, such as growth in wealth, children, and status growth. But there is a vital forgotten context of growth, our knowledge of Allah. The most crucial thing in this world is to grow in our knowledge of Allah, as this is the lasting benefit. The greatest value should be given to the greatest of knowledge. Sheikh Saleh Al-Usaymi rahimahullah wrote, "The amount of knowledge that a person gains is dependent upon the amount that his heart reveres it and honors it." This is a reason why we first call to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, to find the sincere hearts which are ready to gain knowledge of Allah. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah said in his book, Etiquette of the Quran, "The heart is made wholesome for knowledge, just as the earth is made wholesome for cultivation." Actualizing the names and attributes of Allah in our daily lives is the best way to grow our knowledge of Him. We must affirm what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His names and the attributes. We only negate what Allah and His Messenger negated from the names and attributes of Allah. We must strive to understand the names and attributes of Allah the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions understood them. We must place the names of Allah into action by imploring, exalting, glorifying, and invoking Him through His beautiful names. Finally, we must remember that each of the names of Allah has a respective servitude relevant to its meaning. We must submit ourselves to these meanings and implement this in our lives. The question arises, why must we learn, know, and grow our knowledge of our Lord? Importance of the names and attributes. Below is a list of a few reasons out of many why we take a scientific approach towards the names and attributes. 1. We are about to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all on an inevitable journey to meet Allah, the Creator, the Glorified and Exalted. We believe this meeting, as it is declared in the Quran and Sunnah, prophetic tradition, that we must believe in it without any shadow of a doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "O man, verily, you are returning towards your Lord with your deeds and actions, good or bad. A sure returning. So you will meet, that is, the results of your deeds which you did." Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There will be none among you but his Lord will speak to him, and there will be neither any interpreter nor any screen between them to screen." The question here, should we get to know Allah, the one we are about to meet? Is this not important? 2. The purpose of the whole creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the entire universe and subdued its elements to us to come to an explicit knowledge that He is Allah, the all-knowing, all-able, all-wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "It is Allah who has created seven heavens and of the earth, the like of them. His command descends among them, so you may know that Allah is over all things competent, and that Allah has encompassed all things in knowledge." 3. The knowledge of Allah is the essence of monotheism, Tawheed. Knowing His actions of lordship, creation, sustainment, nourishing, and rule, His names and attributes is the foundation on which we built our conviction. This is because the unique qualities of His actions of lordship, names, and attributes necessitates that we worship Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "And those beings whom some invoke besides God, have it not in their power to intercede on Judgment Day for any but such as have in their lifetime borne witness to the truth and have been aware that God is one and unique." 4. The foundation of the knowledge of Islam. If we took at the corpus of knowledge in Islam, we find it has two main parts. 1. Knowing Allah, which means knowing Him based on what He revealed about Himself, believing it with a full acceptance and acting upon that knowledge. Philosophers went astray in this area by using their intellect to redefine the names and attributes of Allah. 2. Worshipping Allah, which means to worship Him with sincerity, truthfulness, and loving Him while following the method of worship He revealed for our guidance. Extreme Sufis went astray in this area. They innovated their own culture of worshipping Allah based on emotions, dreams, and the esoteric, which often contradicts what has been revealed. There is a clear connection between knowing Allah and worshipping Him. The one who knows Allah with the correct knowledge will have the path of acceptable worship facilitated with ease. 5. 30 commandments in the Quran to know Allah. Allah gifted us with more than 30 direct commands to know Him. These verses are tools for contemplation and avenues for engaging non-Muslims in learning about their Lord. As an example, Allah said, "Know that Allah is severe in penalty, and that Allah is forgiving and merciful." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, "Inform my servants that I am the forgiving, the merciful." 6. The noblest of all science. Studying Allah's names is the noblest of all sciences, because what dictates the nobility of science is the virtue of the subject matter. The subject matter here is Allah, the one who created us and provides for us. And there is no nobler subject than this one. Of the most important of all subjects is His spoken word. Therefore, those inviting others to Allah should be using the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended the Quran to be His words organized to open hearts. Some key aspects of the science are a contemplation of Surah Al-Fatiha, the greatest chapter, Surah of the Quran, the central theme of which is monotheism. Ayatul Kursi, the greatest verse in the Quran. The focus of this verse is on the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Ikhlas equals a third of the Quran. This chapter, Surah, focuses exclusively on understanding the nature of Allah. It is considered one third of the Quran because technically, one third of the content of the Quran is information about Allah. Therefore, this chapter, Surah, has summarized that content. Aisha radiallahu anha narrated the story of the companion who loved this chapter. Aisha radiallahu anha related that the Prophet ﷺ placed a man in command of an expedition. He would finish every recitation with قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, Surah Al-Ikhlas. When they returned, the companions mentioned this to the Prophet. So he said, ask him why he does that. He said, because it is the description of the Most Merciful, Sifat al-Rahman, and I love to recite it. The Prophet ﷺ said, inform him that Allah loves him. 7. Forgetting Allah will lead to forgetting oneself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and be not like those who forgot Allah. So He made them forget themselves. Those are the defiantly disobedient. The central concept of the above verse is if someone forgets Allah, it will result in neglect of self and loss of reward in this life and the next. This is the wisdom for which chapter Al-Hashr closes the final three verses with a reminder of numerous names and attributes of Allah. When we remember Allah is Almighty, we will see ourselves as vulnerable. And if we know Allah to be the richest, we will see ourselves as impoverished. If we know Allah to be the possessor of pride and dignity, we will find humility. Allah, the possessor of pride and dignity, said, He is Allah, other than whom there is no deity, knower of the unseen and the witnessed. He is the entirely merciful, especially merciful. He is Allah, other than whom there is no deity, the sovereign, the pure, the perfection, the bestower of faith, the overseer, the exalted in might, the compeller, the superior. Exalted is Allah above whatever they associate with Him. He is Allah, the creator, the inventor, the fashioner. To Him belongs the best names. Whatever is in the heavens and earth is exalting Him, and He is the exalted in might, the wise. 8. Calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah instructed us to invoke Him using His names, and we can praise Him as well using His names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for Allah, there are the most beautiful names, so call Him by them, and leave those who deviate in the matter of His names. They shall be recompensed for what they have been doing. The best example of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the names and attributes of Allah is in the supplication of al-istikhara, which refers to seeking advice and guidance from Allah when making decisions. It is the best manifestation of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to associate the proper name with the respective request. O Allah, I consult You, as You are the all-knowing, and appeal to You to give me power, as You are omnipotent, and ask You for Your great favor, for You have power, but I don't, and You have knowledge, but I don't have, and You know all hidden matters. O Allah, if You know that this matter is good for me in my religion, my livelihood, and for my life in the hereafter, or said, for my present and future life, then do it for me. And if You know that this matter is evil, not good for me in my religion, my livelihood, and for my life in the hereafter, or said, for my present and future life, then keep it away from me and take me away from it, and choose what is good for me wherever it is, and please me with it. The Prophet added that then the person should name mention his need matter. One can see that learning the names of Allah will facilitate the use of the right name, which best fits the need, and this is the correct etiquette to approach Allah, and the most beautiful means by which to obtain our needs. The beauty of it is that supplicating is a form of remembrance of Allah, and it is the best way to praise Him through His names and attributes which He has affirmed for Himself. 9. Means to invite others to Islam, da'wah. Focus on the names and attributes of Allah, while inviting others to Islam is the noblest act one may do. Living in the West is a golden opportunity for many of us to call others to Islam. As mentioned above, the invitation of an atheist to Islam must begin with establishing the pieces of evidence for the existence of Allah. Invitation to someone from the people of the book begins with Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and his names and attributes. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to Yemen, and he said to him, "You will go to the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians. So when you reach there, invite them to testify that La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger, Islamic monotheism. And if they obey you in that, tell them that Allah has enjoined on them 5 salat, prayer, in each day and night. And if they obey you in that, tell them that Allah has made it obligatory on them to pay the charity, zakat, which will be taken from the rich among them and given to the poor among them. If they obey you in that, then avoid taking the best of their possessions, and be afraid of the curse of an oppressed person, because there is no screen between his invocation and Allah. 10. A means to enter paradise. Learning the names of Allah will bring abundant reward in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah has 99 names, 100 less one, and he who memorized them all by heart will enter paradise. To count something means to know it by heart." 11. To avoid deviation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to avoid deviation regarding our understanding of his names and attributes. The only way for us to do so is to learn the different types of deviation and how someone may end up falling into error. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in chapter Surah Al-A'raf, "And to Allah belong the best names, so invoke him by them, and leave the company of those who practice deviation concerning his names. There will be recompense for what they have been doing." Occupy oneself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. There is a heavily circulated narration believed to be a hadith qudsi, meaning a statement related to having come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Whoever is diverted by remembering me, from asking of me, I would grant him the best of what I grant those asking." The account is inauthentic, according to the many of the experts of narration. The scholars, ulama, have degraded this narration because the surface meaning of the content appears to misrepresent the concept of remembrance of Allah, which is a form of invocation in this context. The surface meaning suggests that supplication is less virtuous than remembering. However, on the contrary, the narration emphasizes the significance of praising Allah through his names and attributes. Of course, the adequate understanding of these names and attributes will undoubtedly increase the reverence and exaltation we have in our hearts towards Allah when articulating them during the supplication. Secondly, remembrance of his names while expecting the best from him may be more powerful for the seeker than asking from him without referring to his unique attributes. Consider what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "The most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on him by them." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his servants to ask him by his beautiful names. This manner of asking is superior to the supplication which is bereft of his praise. Below are 3 pieces of evidence to establish that simply praising Allah through his names and attributes is a form of supplication. 1. The supplication on the day of Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of supplications is the supplication of the day of Arafah, and the best of what I and the prophets before me have said is, None has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone, without partner. To Him belongs all that exists, and to Him belongs the praise, and He is powerful over all things. The significance of this piece of evidence is that the statement the Prophet ﷺ quoted is not in the form of what would be known as the supplication of request. It is a statement of remembrance invoking Allah by reference to five of His names. Yet, the Prophet ﷺ inferred that it is the best of supplications at Arafah. It supports the meaning of the Hadith Qudsi, "Whoever is diverted by making remembrance of me from asking of me, I would grant him the best of what I grant those asking." 2. The supplication of distress. The supplication, one should say, at times of distress, according to the Sunnah, prophetic tradition, is not in the form of a supplication, a request. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say at times of distress, "None has the right to be worshipped but Allah, the Majestic, the Most Forbearing. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and the Lord of the Tremendous Throne." Again, the virtues of calling these words when in distress are consistent with the meaning of the Hadith Qudsi, "Whoever is diverted by making remembrance, dhikr, of me, from asking of me, I would grant him the best of what I grant those asking." This stresses the virtue of calling out to Allah using His names, expecting the best from Him, in the knowledge that He is aware of the servant's needs, and He responds to the one who worships Him. 3. The supplication, dua, of Prophet Yunus, Jonah, alayhi salam. The supplication of Prophet Yunus is a third example of the virtues of remembering the names and attributes of Allah and the preference of this upon the one in need. Prophet Yunus, alayhi salam, called out in distress from the darknesses, "There is no deity except you. Exalted are you. Indeed, I have been of the wrongdoers." Now we understand the fact that when we praise Allah using His names and attributes, it is a type of supplication, because technically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our needs, so we do not have to name them. Allah knows what we need, even if what we ask of Him differs. Sometimes we ask Allah to give us things which will be of harm to us in the long term, like wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "And if Allah had extended excessively provision for His servants, they would have committed tyranny throughout the earth, but He sends it down in an amount which He wills. Indeed, He is of His servants acquainted and seeing." If one takes time and exerts their efforts to understand the names and attributes of Allah, it is to be considered a form of worship, very similar to supplicating. Now that we understand this, we must avoid deviation in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes when calling upon Him, because worship must be according to the Quran and Sunnah. Learning the names and attributes of Allah is a gate to remembering, glorifying, and magnifying Him with a deep understanding of these names and attributes. The virtue in striving to achieve through remembering Allah by His names is exemplified in a story of Prophet Musa, Moses alayhi salam, who spoke to Allah at Mount Sinai for the first time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to go to the Pharaoh to call him to Islam. Prophet Musa, Moses alayhi salam, asked Allah for four things: to enable him and his brother to glorify and remember Allah, and to increase their remembrance of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, "Go to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has transgressed." Moses said, "My Lord, expand for me my breast with assurance, and ease for me my task, and untie the knot from my tongue, that they may understand my speech, and appoint for me a minister from my family. Harun, my brother, increase through him my strength, and let him share my task, that we may exalt you much and remember you much. Indeed, you are of us ever seeing. Allah said, "You have been granted your request, O Musa, Moses." In the next statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises Prophet Musa alayhi salam to continue praising and magnifying him, and he will respond by providing for the Prophet alayhi salam without the premise of him mentioning his needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "When we inspired your mother with that which we inspired, saying, 'Put Musa, the child, into the tabut, a box, a case or a chest, and put it into the river Nile. Then the river shall cast it up on the bank, and there an enemy of mine and an enemy of his shall take him. And I endued you with love from me, so that you may be brought up under my eye. When your sister went and said, 'Shall I show you who will nurse him?' So we restored you to your mother, that she might cool her eyes and not grieve. Then you did kill a man, but we saved you from great distress and tried you with a massive trial. Then you stayed several years with the people of Madian. You came here according to the fixed term I ordained for you, O Musa, Moses, and I have istana'atuka for myself."